Amen. Thank you, worship team. We are more than conquerors in Christ. You cannot sit still and silent on that. Amen it? We are more than conquerors. Let's talk about it today. Now, when we think of church, we often think of Sunday best. And Sunday best is usually a pretty good idea. The trouble is that Sunday best often extends beyond our attire. And Sunday best kind of becomes a way that we try to cover up our flaws and our bad habits, and it's a mask that we wear. But God wants us to be real with who we are, and he wants to give us victory over our habits. You know, we all wrestle with bad habits. We all do things that we go, oh, I wish I didn't do this. We all do things where we say, man, if my friends knew I did this, they wouldn't be my friends. A bad habit might be something which starts off as kind of fun, but then the joy goes, and in the end, it ends up controlling you. So when I talk about bad habits, what is a bad habit? Bad habit is something you do over and over, and you know it's not right, but you just can't shake it. A bad habit is not something which you say, I'm going to set out to do this. It just kind of sneaks up on you. And then you wake up and you go, man, I'm in the middle of it. Many of us right here are caught up in bad habits. And we're all wired differently. One person's bad habit may not be another. Bad habits can cover all sorts of things. It might be, hey, just one more drink. One more donut. One more click on that website. No, I'm not hooked on it. Through Jesus' resurrection, we have all that we need to overcome bad habits. Yet too many of us remain entangled. We sing a song just like we did that we're more than conquerors in Christ. Yet many of us are saying, you know, I'm conquered by something else. So how do we experience the freedom that God wants us to have? Heavenly Father, I pray that you would open our eyes as we look into your word today. Lord, give us the faith to trust you and to believe you, that we are more than conquerors in Christ. Lord, I pray that we be a people here who boldly say we will not bow to sin or to shame because we serve the risen Christ and we have his life. Lord, I pray that you would translate that into our everyday lives. I pray that this would never be just religious talk. Lord, help us to experience resurrection power in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles with you, you can open to Romans chapter 6. We'll be basing right there, talking about how the resurrection changes everything. But bad habits are interesting. Because bad habits, by their very nature, we tend to do in the dark. We don't want people to know about them. They're not something that we flaunt. And I find there's a couple good indicators of when something is a bad habit in our lives. One indicator is denial. I don't have a problem. I won't tell any about it, but I don't have a problem. And we justify whatever we're doing. Well, it's really not affecting that many people. No, I'm in control. I really am. And then we go right down that road. Denial. The only way really to stop denial is to have close friends who will point stuff out to you and say, you gotta do something about this. But if you stay to yourself, it's very easy to live in denial. I find another indicator of a bad habit is despair. You just feel beaten. You know you should be more than a conqueror in Christ, but you're conquered by a habit. It owns you. It has you for lunch. And despair fuels shame. And you get a lot of people who are supposed to be more than conquerors in Christ walking with heads bowed down, shoulders slumped, because bad habits have us. And we know that we're not living life in the freedom that God wants us to have. Living in despair makes us want to just retreat into the shadows. And way too many Christians live in the shadows. Despair fuels shame. Think about it. It's Alcoholics Anonymous, not Alcoholics Out Loud and Proud. Our bad habits drive us into the shadows. And sometimes the shame that we may have from our bad habits gets us to put on our Sunday best. We wear these masks and we cover up for something. Maybe a deep sense of insecurity is covered up by trying to act like the class clown. Or maybe a deep sense of insecurity is masked by trying to bully other people around and thinking if you can put them down and make them lower than you, then you'll end up okay. But we all know that doesn't work. You see, all of us sin. The Bible even says, if you say you have no sin, you're deluding yourself. So Christians, let's not pretend that we've all got our acts perfectly together. And let's deal with those bad habits. We all sin. We all tend to have different sin bents. For some, the struggle may be food. For others, it might be sexual sin. There are all kinds of different sins. You may look at someone and say, how can they possibly struggle with that? That's not a big issue for me. Well, don't be looking at them. We all need to look at ourselves and say, how do I need to grow? All of us have bad habits. And some of us are better than others at hiding it. And that's not necessarily good. But here at Cedar Run, know this. We want to be a field hospital. When we talk about sin and about bad habits, the purpose is never to browbeat anybody. God forbid that anyone ever stands up here and just harangues you for what you're not doing right. The purpose of talking about the things that we're not doing right, the bad habits that we have, is to get us to go to the cross. And we go to the cross so we can experience the power of the resurrection. We're a field hospital. We want you healed. We want to be a place of hope and of help for all of us. The verse which I've been using in this series together is Romans 6, verse 5, and it says, for if we've been united with him in a death like his, we'll certainly be united with him in resurrection life. That's an amazing truth. God wants us to identify with him because everything that Christ has done, he said, I'm crediting to you. So how do we live this out? Bad habits have a way of sticking with us and making Romans 6, verse 5 just feel like a platitude. Maybe you're caught up in something and you say, yeah, right, I've heard that verse before. I've seen it up on people's walls. But it's just a platitude. We have to be real and admit that habits have a way of entangling us and snaring us. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 5, it says this in verse 22. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he's held fast in the cords of his sin. Once you fall into a sinful habit, you get into it a little bit, and then you think, oh, I'll try to untie it and get out of it myself. But then as you try to mess with it, it kind of, you get more tangled up in it, and then you sink deeper into it, and it just gets worse and worse. Our sin tangles us up. It gets a hold of us and snares us. And in and of ourselves, we're really powerless to do anything about it. And that's where God says, listen, the gospel is good news. So often we emphasize one aspect of it, but the gospel is for everyday living. Christ died for us. He died so that he would pay that penalty for the sin that we owe. All that junk in our hearts, that thing which God says, I can't have in your presence. Jesus died for that, to pay the penalty that we owe for it. He then rose from the dead to say, I will give you my life. And when we turn to him and say, Lord, I believe. There's nothing I can do to earn my salvation. I believe that what Jesus did for me, God says, welcome to my family. I will become your heavenly Father, and heaven is your guaranteed home for the rest of forever. But too many of us just stop it right there. Okay, that's great. I've got my ticket to heaven punched, but I'm kind of on my own in this life. But the gospel has implications for every day. The gospel is what we need to smash through the bad habits, the chains that tie us down, that keep us from living a life as it ought to be. See, the battle is in our minds. It's not in our feelings. Our feelings will lead us astray every time. The battle is in our minds. What will we believe? In Romans chapter 6, it starts off like this. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we've died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Now let me give you some of the background to this. Earlier in the couple chapters before, chapters 4 and 5, the amazing concept of God's grace is introduced. And we're saved by the fact that Christ died for us. And it doesn't matter how good or how bad you are, God's grace is enough to save you. The worst person on the planet is not out of the reach of God's grace. Now, God knows the way we think. And he anticipated that some bright spark would say, wait a minute. So, the worse a person is, the more grace they get. Grace is pretty cool. So, the more I sin, the more grace I get so I can live a life of sin. And I love the way the older translations of the Bible put it. When they say, should we keep on sinning so that we get more grace? God forbid. No. That's the dumbest thing you can do. Don't go on sinning thinking that you're going to get more grace. Why on earth would you want to do that? If it really sinks into you how seriously God takes sin, that he sent his son to die on your behalf, he did it out of love for you, why on earth would you say, cool, I'm going to go ahead and enjoy this sin? If we want victory over bad habits, we need to act on what this chapter says. The first thing we can do is we've got to name it. We've got to call it what it is, sin. It's humbling to admit when we're wrong. We don't like to admit we're wrong. But you know, it's in that humility that God is close. But in our pride, we don't like to call sin, sin. Well, I have a problem with such and such. But the Bible says, call it what it is. And it's not to condemn you, but it's to bring you towards healing. It's countercultural for us today to say, yeah, I'm doing something sinful. Because we live in a culture of victimhood. It's someone else's fault that I act the way I am. It's someone else's fault that I'm lashing out in anger. It's someone else's fault that I'm taking another drink. God says, no, name it. Call it what it is. You will never get to the healing and the hope that comes with the cross if you're not willing to call it what it is. Christ came to deal with sin. We've got to get on the same page that he is. And sometimes, though, I don't want to be simplistic, because sometimes sin, you know, as we talked earlier, it kind of wraps us in its cords and it snares us around. And sometimes we can be so wrapped up in it that we can't make heads nor tails of it. We don't know which way is up. And you may need some outside help to say, let me help you untangle a few things so you can see what's really at the core of your heart. And that's where I'm thankful for godly counselors who are good at helping people to pull off some of the strings and untie some of the knots so you can see this is what's here, this is what needs to be dealt with. But make no mistake about it, the bad habits that run through our life, God holds us accountable for them. And I don't say that so that anyone here feels condemned, but I say it because for hope and healing to happen, we've got to call it what God calls it. In the book of James, it says this: temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it brings forth death. Sin destroys. But we fall into sin when we choose that path. Don't make excuses. Don't blame anyone. In Romans chapter 6, it carries on in verse 6. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. Now we are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death has no power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin, but now he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Call sin what it is, name it, but then we've got to make the choice to believe that what God says is true. If we really believe this passage right here, changes everything. It's the game changer. Since Jesus defeated death, he defeated its power over you. You no longer have to get sucked into a vortex of sin. You have the power of Christ to say, no, I'm not going to do it. I will be set free. Look at verse 7. Look at the tenses. It talks about for when we died with Christ. That's the moment that we turn to him in faith and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm asking you to save me. When we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Past tense, were. It's not something where God says, well, you know, when everything is right in heaven, then you'll be free from that power of sin. In heaven, we'll be free from the presence of sin. But God is saying, this side of heaven, you can be free from the power of sin. Because Christ has dealt with it. It's what the Bible says. It's not my words. But bad habits preoccupy us. They get on our minds. And we think about these bad habits over and over. We get pulled into them and then we start believing the lie that we're in a swamp that we can't get out of. We believe the lie that we are tangled so much with these cords that there's nothing that can break them. But that's not what the Bible says. That's what our feelings say. That's why you can't live by your feelings. The battle is in our minds. You got to believe the truth that God says. I've shared this before, but a number of years ago, I was on a missions trip. We were in a poorer country, and I noticed in many of the homes, it was an agricultural area, they would have the family bull, and it was tied up in the front yard. And if you can imagine this, this thing was huge. And it was held in place by a tiny little rebar in the ground. And the people that were used to living there thought nothing of walking past it. Whereas I would see that, I'd say, wait a minute, this bull sneezes and it's out of there. And when this bull is out of there, it can run after me. So I'm staying far away from it. And I asked the missionary, I said, you know, this doesn't make any sense. How do they hold those bulls down that way? They said, oh, it's easy. Pretty much the day after it's born, they put a ring in its nose. They attach it to this little rebar, put it in the ground. And that little calf tries with all its might to kick out of there, to paw at it, to claw at it, to jump out of there. And it can't move the rebar. And it tries this day after day after day. And then after a short while, it gives up. And it just stands there. But what it didn't realize is that little calf is growing into a mighty bull. But it didn't know better. And this bull, who could just sneeze and get out of there, says, you know, I tried that. It didn't work then. It ain't going to work now. I guess I'm stuck. Many of us Christians are just like that bull. We haven't come to terms with the fact. The fact, not the religious belief, the fact that the risen Christ offers his life to us. The risen Christ says, I've rendered the body of sin powerless. You don't have to get sucked into these bad habits. The power of the resurrection is everything you need to smash those shackles that are holding you down. But so many of us go back to our old ways of saying, I've tried to do it by myself. I couldn't do it. And we're just like those bulls. That is no way to live. God wants us running free. And that is only going to happen when our minds are set on him. You know, we live in a very busy culture, and we love our formulas. We want to be able to know, hey, three quick things I can do for this or that. But God says, I've never operated that way. You need to saturate your minds with me. There are all kinds of other things out there to distract you, but saturate your minds with me. We need to take time each day to meet with our Savior. And we do that through praying, through listening to him, through reading his word so we can know him for who he is. If we don't anchor ourselves to his word, we're just going to live by our feelings. And we'll get tossed about by these bad habits. Compared to the power of Christ, the bad habits are just a tiny little rebar that's holding us in the ground. And we believe the lie that it's got me. I can't break free. The power of Christ is greater than all of that. Okay, so that's the truth. But what do I do? You know, we're doers. You know, we don't want to just, like, just believe and just kind of go through life. What's going to happen here? The passage continues this way. Verse 12. Now, the earlier verses were talking about all that Jesus has done and what we believe. Verse 12. Do not. This is you do not. You take action. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Don't give up. Don't let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. We've got to name the bad habit. Call it sin so we can experience God's power. We then believe that he has given us everything that we need through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then we need to choose to follow him. It's a worship issue. We can choose to satisfy my cravings, my fleshly desires, or you can say, no, I choose to follow Christ. I choose to obey. It says, offer yourself to God. When it says, offer yourself to God, this is not something you do once at an emotional meeting and you say, okay, God, I'm yours, and that's it. It's something we do daily. When we meet with our Savior every day, we say, Lord, here I am. Use me. As we talk with him, as we go through our day, Lord, I'm yours. I'm fixing my heart and my mind on you. And we can do this wherever we are. Doesn't matter what our career is, what our location is. It's something we can multitask with as we go through the day's things. Lord, fix my mind on you. I'm yours. I choose to obey you. Now, obedience is not easy. This is kind of hard for us because it's a lot easier to just slump into a bad habit. Bad habits offer you quick fixes. Bad habits say, I'll make you feel good right now, but the consequences come later. God's saying, I am setting you up for an abundant life, a life of freedom that you can really enjoy. But you've got to make some choices. It's kind of like a diet. Most of us have experimented with diets with varying degrees of success. But when they work, you can start training your body so that it takes away the cravings from the sugars or whatever it is you're trying to avoid. But it's really difficult when you first get started because it's so much easier to just grab a piece of candy and get that quick sugar rush. But when you're trying to make things right, it can be a rough slog. And you might say, you know, this time right now isn't easy, but as I move ahead, it is going to get better. And that is so true. Getting started is the hard part. It's not easy to make a choice to follow the Lord, especially when your desires are screaming out, do that bad habit, do that bad habit. You'll feel great. No one will know. Just go into the shadows. No one will know. But this is where we need to understand that grace is not opposed to effort. It is opposed to earning. Grace is not opposed to effort. It's opposed to earning. The Apostle Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. He said this, speaking of the other apostles, he said, for I worked harder than all of these guys, yet not me, but the grace of God that was within me. That's that balance we have in Scripture. Grace is not license to float and do nothing. But grace is the power we need when we say, Lord, I am stepping in this direction. And then God gives us this grace which carries us through to help us to do the right thing. And he gives us the satisfaction we need. But we've got to make the choice to take that step. And God will overwhelm us with his grace. He will give us everything we need. Grace is not opposed to effort, but it is opposed to earning. And what I mean by that is, grace, you don't just say I'm floating and then wonder why you still fall into bad habits. Grace is opposed to earning. And that is when we say, well, if, Lord, I do all these good things, then you'll like me more. That's not how grace works. We don't earn God's affection. We don't earn the power that he says to give us. He says, I've already given it to you. Remember what it says in verse 7. When you went to Christ, you were given victory over the power of sin. You were set free from it. Name it. Call it what it is. Don't just excuse it as a funny little bad habit. It's a chain that's holding you down. Believe that what God says is true, that he's given you everything that you need. And then choose to obey him. And I know that that can just sound like a formula. But it's not. This is what God's word lays out for us. And it takes time to grasp this. But it's never going to work for us if it's just something we hear on a Sunday morning every once in a while. We need to make the choice to say, Lord, I want to immerse myself in you. I want to know you better. I want to think on you. Because the battle of the mind rages. We become what we think like. That's how we're going to behave. And you may be here thinking, okay, those are the three simple steps, but you don't know my bad habit. I am so far in the shadows, it is like I am sinking in quicksand. I don't need any of this religious talk. I need to carry on. But here's what you need to know. We have an enemy, Satan, who would love nothing more than for you, with the risen Christ in you, to be walking with your shoulders slumped and your head down, just feeling doomed and condemned to being stuck in these bad habits. What you also need to know is that when we're willing to name it, that God convicts us of sin, Satan condemns us for our sin. We name it not to revel in sin, not to beat ourselves up, but to call it what it is and say, oh God, I need you. And when we recognize our sin for what it is and it points us towards God, that's his sense of conviction. But when you feel browbeaten over your failures or the bad habits that suck you down, then that is Satan just beating you up. And the Bible says, look, there's no condemnation to you if you are in Christ. You don't have to live this way. Remember this also, you are not alone. Bad habits drive us into the shadows, which not only are dark, but we stay there by ourselves. We have a community right here. Many of you are involved in life groups as well. We have close Christian friends. We need to encourage one another. We need to love each other enough to point out things in one another's lives that we can say, aha, you know, I didn't really notice those chains, but now that you point them out, yeah, they're holding me down. I want to be free of them. We can be each other's best friends when we point stuff out like that. I've just done a flying tour of Romans chapter 6. There's a lot in this passage, but there's more to the story, and we won't go through it all today. Chapter 7 reminds us it's a war zone. The Christian life is a war zone. We would all like to think that, man, we're going this way. But the reality is we're going to go kind of like this. We're going to have our ups and downs. But the overall trajectory, once we go, yes, I do have the power of the risen Christ in me, the overall trajectory is up. God doesn't condemn us. Satan does. And then God also says, I will live inside you. I will give you my Holy Spirit to empower you. No Christian is ever alone. So you may think that you are alone in the shadows with your bad habit, but God is right there with you. And he's saying to you, I want to free you from this. I live inside you. You have my life. You don't have to live this way. Will you choose to believe me and say, yes, I'll follow you and experience being more than a conqueror in Christ rather than letting the bad habits conquer us? See, bad habits just weigh us down. Bad habits drive us into the shadows. Today, it's time to come out of those shadows. God didn't want any of his people being sidelined. Coming out of the shadows allows the light to expose us. The Bible didn't use euphemisms for sin. It's got a number of words it uses, and none of them are pleasant. We ought to have the same attitude towards it. When God exposes our sin, it's not to mock us or to condemn us. He exposes it. So we say, now, will you turn to me? When you name it, you're agreeing with God's assessment of a bad habit. Or we can say, no, 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 God, I know you don't like it, but it's just a little problem I have, and I'll work on it on my own. Guaranteed of being stuck in it. Will you today trust the habit-shattering power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? You may be feeling trapped in the darkness, but whatever darkness you may feel trapped in, it was not as dark as Jesus' tomb on Friday night. And then Sunday came around, and the light pierced it all. And that same light he offers to us, resurrection power. Easter Sunday destroyed that darkness, and he offers to do it for us today. Will you choose to worship God by offering yourself to him, not just as a one-time deal, but every day? Hey, Lord, here I am. I'm here to serve you. You know, when our mind is on him, as we're daily saying, Lord, I'm on you, then a funny thing happens. Our orientation kind of gets changed towards him, and we don't start looking at all the distractions around us. And when our eyes are on him, we go towards him. The trouble with bad habits is we can look at it and say, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do this, and you'll walk into it every time. Don't try this sometime, but you can get your bike out here, and you can ride around in our parking lot, and you can say, I'm not going to go into that light pole, I'm not going to go into that light pole, I'm not going to go into that light pole. Guarantee you, you will go into a light pole. Don't focus on what you shouldn't be doing. Say, you know, Lord, my eyes need to be on you and the power that I have in Christ. When our mind is on him, we'll start heading towards him. And when we head towards him, all of a sudden the things that used to attract us no longer look that great. Wait a minute, I have Christ. I'm just beginning to grasp how incredible this is, that someone died for me, rose for me, and I have the God of the universe who can't be contained in a building living in me. What's not to like about that? Why would I settle for all this other stuff that I settle for? When our hearts and our minds are on him, then he frees us up from those bad habits. So it's time to come out of the shadows. Maybe you've been living in the shadows. Maybe you've had a sense of hopelessness that, you know, if people really knew what I was like, I'd be a nobody in church. Well, the truth is, Jesus knows what you're like. And he offers you life. And if Jesus says, I love you and I offer you life, who are we to ever look at anyone and say, oh, you've got that habit, I can't associate with you. We're in this together. And together as a church family, we want to say, Lord, we want to experience the power of your resurrection together. Wouldn't it be fantastic if we start hearing stories bubble up of people being free from habits that have ensnared them, or they've been held back because they feel, oh, no, no one would want me because of whatever it might be. God wants you free from that. He didn't want his people living in the shadows. He will give us grace that is enough. He will give us everything that we need to smash those chains. Will we agree with his assessment? Will we believe him? And then will we choose to say, Lord, I'm yours. I want to have my heart and my mind fixed on you. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would draw us close to yourself right now. Lord, you know that in this room, there are some struggling with things that are in the shadows that you don't want them to be ensnared by. Lord, I pray that today you would grant freedom. I pray that today would be a day of victory. Lord, I pray for us as a church family that we would never look down our noses at anyone and think, well, I don't do that bad. But Lord, would we encourage one another towards you, and so that together we experience the resurrection life. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.